In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, last Sunday during the Super Bowl halftime show, there appeared on the Jumbotron a sign that said, "The only thing more powerful than hate is love." And someone got on Twitter and commented on this. They said, "Imagine getting mad about this and still thinking you're a good person." But the thing was, during the halftime show, the performer was singing in a very perverse way about love. And the people were dancing in a very sensual and debased way during the halftime show. Love is certainly a good thing, but only when it is true and proper. I'm afraid that this notion of love that was being promoted was that love is the same as pleasure. Love is identified with pleasure. So those who believe this idea that love is pleasure, they think that as long as two people are having some sort of pleasure with one another, then it is a good thing. The only thing that matters is if it's pleasurable. That effectively all forms of pleasure should be tolerated and celebrated just by the fact that they provide pleasure. And so those who criticize this idea that love is pleasure are engaging in hate, because they say that such people who are opposed to hedonism are opposed to love. St. Augustine famously described two competing ideas on what love really is, what is true love, in his masterwork, The City of God. I'm sure you've heard this quotation. "Two loves have built two cities, the love of self, even through the despising of God, the city of the earth, the love of God, even through the despising of self, the city of God. One glorifies itself in self, and the other in the Lord." And this quotation explains to us what true love is and also what false love is. False love is the love of self above God. True love is the love of God above self. And this is the notion of love that is given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ, in which we follow and try to adhere to as Catholics. There's a famous spiritual manual written by Father Tanqueray that gives us two principles about this love. And I think it's important for us to talk about love on this Sunday, because it gives us this beautiful epistle of St. Paul explaining love to us. Father Tanqueray gives us these two principles, and the first of these principles is that really the essence of our perfection as human beings is in the practice of true love. In other words, if we consider our real value, what is the essence of our value as human beings, our true dignity? It is the degree to which we practice that true love. If we think about how God looks at us and how God looks at our soul, looks at our dispositions, if we consider what am I worth as a human being, the main thing that determines that is the way we practice this true love, this degree of love that we have in ourselves, our level of love. We know that our Lord confirms this in the gospel by saying that the whole of the law is contained in the two commandments, the two great commandments of love of God and love of neighbor. And this is what St. Paul is telling us in the epistle today, where it starts off, where he says, you know, if I have everything, no matter what I do, I could do some incredible things, some amazing things, but if I do not have charity, I am nothing. It's all useless. The one thing that gives me value is the possession of this love. St. Paul also helps us push aside that false notion of love, because let's face it, love is a word that everybody uses, but so often it's used in the wrong sense. It's given the wrong sense. People get a good feeling when they use this word love, and everybody agrees, love is good. But so many people use it in a way that is sloppy and give to it a false meaning. See, Paul says, charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth. This is true love. Then he goes on to say that charity is the essence of our perfection by explaining that charity is the virtue that remains for all eternity. When we leave this life and this life is over, the other two theological virtues, faith and hope, will not exist in heaven. There will not be any need or reason to have faith in heaven or hope in heaven, because we will see what we believed in while on this earth, and we will possess what we were promised. And so the one virtue that will remain is charity. This shows us that our perfection lies in charity. The reason this is the case is because charity alone unites us directly to God. The one virtue that immediately concerns God and unites us directly with Him is charity. And our union with God is our perfection. That is the main reason why we are created. So the second principle that we have to understand about love is that love requires sacrifice. This is what is totally opposed to the mindset of those who believe that love is equal to pleasure. No, in fact, true love requires sacrifice on the part of the lover. This is why we're Catholic, and we don't go to rock stars or pop stars or pop culture to get our notion of love as Catholics. We get it from our Lord Jesus Christ, who is that tremendous lover. He is the true lover. So these people believe that happiness is in selfishness, self-fulfillment is in selfishness. We believe that our true perfection, our true fulfillment is in sacrifice, sacrificing ourselves for the good. This is how we express love. This is how we perform love. And this is what makes us good people, better people. This is what perfects us, helps us attain the very reason for which we are created. Of course, our Lord taught us this when he said, greater love than this no man hath. Then he laid down his life for his friends. And our Lord manifests this by precisely spending his whole life for us. His whole life from start to finish was a life of sacrifice on our behalf, a life of privations and humiliations. Think about the all-night vigils where our Lord would pray all throughout the night, of his constant traveling, of him sleeping under the stars, not having a place to lay his head, of his incessant labor for the salvation of souls. You know, our Lord, in living this life, he manifests to us the true perfection of our life, and he also invited us to imitate him, to follow him, saying to us, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This means, of course, that we have to renounce and fight against our evil side, our evil inclinations, selfishness, pride, ambition, sensuality, lust, inordinate love of ease and riches. Our Lord even tells us that we have to fight so hard that if we find in ourselves some unruly inclination, we must basically rip it out. Like, even if our eye, if our eye is badly inclined, then we pluck the eye out and throw it away from us, so as to remove that obstacle to our love. True love for God also means accepting whatever sufferings and humiliations may come to us in this life. Let's face it, I mean, it would be really nice if we could attain true love without having to fight against ourselves, with just following our inclinations, following our impulses. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, it wouldn't be difficult then. We just, you know, we would be us. You be you, I be me, and it's all good. But because of the fact we have this fallen human nature, this is the path to true love. We fight against ourselves, against our unruly tendencies. So, my dear faithful, as we approach Lent, we must try to see Lent as a time where we express our love for our Lord. This is a time where the church asks us precisely to choose sacrifices for ourselves, to voluntarily impose sacrifices upon ourselves. We want to grow in the love of our Lord. We want to imitate his passion. And so we say to ourselves, what can I give to him? How can I make myself more like him? What sacrifices can I make on his behalf? On the one hand, it is important for us to consider what might be the main obstacles to us loving him. If I look at my soul and I look at my behavior and what I do, to say to myself, you know, what is the main thing that keeps me from loving God as I ought, from loving God more, from loving God wholly? And when we find that thing, then we choose some sort of sacrifice that will help us eliminate that obstacle, remove that obstacle to the love of God in me. Father Goshi gave a sermon 2 weeks ago at the seminary in Virginia, and he phrased the question this way: if I died tomorrow, what would be the thing that would worry me most when I appear before our Lord, that he would reproach me about the most? That's the thing I should address during Lent. Should take some resolution about mortifying that thing. But besides that, it's very important that we spend more time with God during Lent. On the positive side, we're going to love God more if we spend more time with him. Perhaps we choose to pray an extra rosary during Lent, or to just set aside 30 minutes each day to spend with God. I'm going to set aside 30 minutes. Perhaps I do some reading. Perhaps I do a meditation. Whatever it may be, I just reserve that time to spend with God. So, my dear faithful, you must want to, out of love of God, out of love for our Lord, to grow in that love of God, to grow in your own perfection. You must at least want to do these two things: choose a mortification that attacks the main obstacle in your soul to the love of God, and then choose some practice of greater prayer that will have you spend more time with God, perhaps daily mass, whatever it may be, that you're going to spend more time with God during Lent. St. Paul says today that love endures all things. And this is a beautiful aspect of love, that love, another way of saying this is that love makes all things easy. When we love, when we have this desire, somehow difficult things become easy by the desire that we have. So this is especially manifested in the saints who did incredible things just because they were in love with God. They did incredible things for him. Just give you a little example, a beautiful example in the life of Saint Therese. She loved to choose little penances to offer our Lord in her Carmelite life. Here's someone talking about some things she would do. Inadvertently, the sister next to her always left her a little wholesome food and drink, but she was silent and rejoiced. The kitchen sisters, not knowing what to do with leftovers that had been warmed over half a dozen times, would remark, "No one will eat this but Sister Therese." She did, and with a smile. She sipped the most bitter medicine drop by drop. Though there was nothing from which she suffered so much physically as the cold, she took no means of keeping from feeling it. She used the discipline, struck hard and fast, and was careful not to lessen the sharpness of the pain. She refrained from indulging in little comforts, such as crossing her feet while standing or sitting, and the like. This is a heroism that comes from a great love for God, and made her really desire to give herself completely to God when she was already living a very austere Carmelite life. So, my dear faithful, what love are we going to manifest to our Lord during this Lenten time? Let us really take advantage of this beautiful time to grow in the love of God and so draw ourselves closer to Him and attain our real perfection in this life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.